The host has rejoined the conference.
Yeah, we're having some LA teleconference is saying there's some problem with audio again. They're going to try and dial back in. I don't know why.
Okay. Just put a pause on it then until we make sure that the public
Sorry about that. She says she doesn't know what the issue is, and they're trying to figure it out. So, TJ, are you dialing her back, or is she dialing us back?
She did just dial back in, but I can dial her back really quick.
I just got a customer that says apologies, we're good to go. So I think we're back on the record, Mr. Chairman.
Also, if it would provide any clarity to the conversation at hand, the following agenda item is going to be very much related to Bethany's question as well, because staff is also looking for direction about how to route meeting requests from the public to you guys directly, and I think that naturally will lead you guys to a discussion about how you guys as board members interact with the public. So we kind of anticipated this question coming, so that's definitely next as you guys discuss how you'd like us to route requests to and between you guys.
And to Bethany's question, that nonprofits are certainly on the list. I mean, the first item on the list is all Alaskans. That includes everybody. And then I tried to just delineate the groups that in the past have been, you know, very active in redistricting, but I'll just add nonprofits to the list. And if you have nonprofits that you're aware of who are interested, please do give us that information and we'll put them on the list or reach out to them and see what their concerns may be and if there's a way that we can engage with them productively.
And if I could just clarify, what I've been asked is not about concerns, but what is redistricting? That's what they want to know. Could you explain the process to us more so? Definitely groups might have more specific kind of geographic concerns, but this is more so what is redistricting?
Yeah, I expect the demands on the staff are going to range all the way from what is redistricting or why are we even doing this, why are we having this conversation, all the way to fairly technical questions about the Voting Rights Act and so forth. And I'm anticipating once we have legal counsel on board, hopefully in the next few weeks, there's a few questions that TJ and I have about the VRA and what it means today. So there's a little learning curve there at the technical end for both of us as well, and I expect those conversations with the public to range all over the map. But nonprofits are certainly an excellent addition.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other thoughts or comments on this item?
Mr. Chairman, it's Nicole. Can I get in the queue?
Yes, please, Nicole.
Thank you so much. I definitely agree that this is something that we should be very much engaging in, and the extended timeline does work in our benefit for this particular reason. And I wonder if we might ask our staff to put together a bullet point or presentation of such and just extend the offer to board members. I'm thinking about regions like Bering Straits, you know, that Melanie really knows who the movers and shakers are and how to get all of the interested persons into those meetings. And instead of just having, you know, reaching out to nonprofits or tribal governments or municipalities, maybe we just set up a schedule where we're in region for X amount of days or a day, once it's safe to travel, of course, and we're able to just invite, you know, the whole community as best as possible. So there's lots of different ways to go about this, but I'm in strong support of giving as much outreach as we can.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think there's probably a consensus here that the protocols that you've met the protocols, but the outline of the outreach that you provided to us, the document, can have a little bit of tweaking to it, can maybe add some more groups to it. But hopefully the two of you really have a sense of where the board's at on this, and I don't know that we need a motion or a directive, but I think there's generally consensus that you move forward with the plan outline.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, this is Melanie. I had my hand up, but I don't know if it's showing that it's up.
Oh, no, it did. I must have missed it. Sorry, Melanie.
Yeah, I think this is a good starting point, but what would be helpful for me is timelines and a little bit more of a concrete plan so that I know that we will have made information about the general redistricting process available to anybody who's interested, no matter which group they're part of, and in every region of Alaska. So I think that's going to require a little bit more planning, and I leave that to staff that's administrative in nature. I think we generally approve of the policy or direction, but I'd like to see more of a concrete plan with, proposed dates and locations. On our website, I think it would be helpful if we had a mechanism for groups that are wanting specifically us to meet with them, like the board or maybe staff, that they have a process to request formal engagement. And I know we've got that next on our agenda, it's a response protocol for meeting requests, but this also has to do with outreach in general, where we're being proactive. We're proactively making sure that we're going to be in every region at least once to share information and make sure that the public is aware. And then in addition to that, we have a mechanism for individual groups that are requesting specific meetings with us. So I think the two go hand in hand.
Okay, excellent point.
Yeah, and our intention, Mr. Chair, is that, once with the board, in full support of this, then we're going to get down to brass tacks and look at some of the scheduling, and take into account whatever seasonality factors might be at play. And our intention is to reach out to individual board members to tap into their local expertise for that region as to when would be a good time and when would not be a good time, and so forth. And, of course, the COVID situation is still somewhat at play, and so that will be part of the conversation, but we'll be doing that with individual board members in regards to their region.
Okay, why don't you use that as a segue into number five, and then also just as you and DJ start to put together the plan, just keep us as board members in the loop so we can kind of see what it is as well as seeking out our input on specifics.
Sure. Okay, so moving to number five, in reviewing the archives, there's stacks and stacks of paper. We haven't made it through it all, but we've got through some, and it's very clear that As the time gets closer when we're actually drawing lines, there will be numerous requests from all kinds of different entities to wish to meet with board members, sometimes one-on-one in private, sometimes in some kind of group setting, or maybe there's some other small gathering they want the members to attend. And the staff would like direction from the board on how do we route these. We could compile them in a list and send them every week or every couple of weeks. We could just forward them on. We could just file them and not say anything. We're not sure there's going to be quite a few, so we would like to pre-think how they're handled, and would like to hear from the board when we start a discussion with the board on how to handle these sorts of requests as they come in.
Okay. Well, that's what I mentioned a little bit earlier about how do we do this individually as board members and both when we get personal requests or meetings or questions from members of the public, and then also for the staff when they get specific to wanting to meet with board members. So really we can just, I guess, have an open discussion on it. As I mentioned earlier, we could either try and come up with a board policy that we can all agree on, or it may be that individually we feel differently about interacting with individuals on questions about the process as we go forward. So just I'll open it up generally to people's thoughts here. Bethany? Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I mean, I have some of mixed feelings about this. I've already had, maybe a couple or a handful of just out-of-the-blue calls because people heard I'm on this board and then they want to start talking to me about, some legislative boundary or something, and I've told them, geez, you're just like months too early. We don't have census data. There's just nothing to see here yet. Let's deal with this like a lot later. So that's all that's happened so far. But this tells me that there's going to be a lot more of that kind of thing happening. And in some ways it would be nice to have a policy that says that individual board members aren't going to engage in kind of off-the-record discussions like that. But the flip side of that is that that is also going to be one way that we can receive public input. And I don't think it's practical or desirable even to tell members of the public that, hey, you've got to wait and you have to show up at a meeting or you have to send it in writing. I'm just kind of thinking out loud here because I do see competing interests. You know, one is the nature of a private conversation and how that fits with the open meetings rules, that sort of thing. And the other is just being available and accessible and as open as possible to receiving as much external input as possible and just making that easy for people. So just by thinking on it, I don't know the answer to that at this point. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bud. It's probably kind of a fine line between wanting to make certain that people were open to discussions with the public about their concerns, thoughts, ideas regarding redistricting, but also making certain that we don't cross maybe a boundary of some sort to indicate what we might or might not do regarding districts.
Mr. Chair, this is Melanie. I have a suggestion.
Okay, Melanie.
So I already received one phone call from a group wanting to speak with me individually in my capacity as a redistricting board member, and I respectfully decline until we as a board identify protocols and what we're trying to do right here. I want as much as possible this process to be as transparent as possible, and I think one of the things that would be helpful if we are going to allow ourselves to individually engage with groups or people in our role, in our formal role as redistricting board members, that information should be shared amongst the group and maybe even with the public. We should have, here's who Melanie Banky has, you know, met with in her official capacity. And then we should, like you said, have some ground rules for what we do communicate and don't communicate, and I would find that really helpful if we could identify some ground rules. My preference would be that all meetings take place with all five of us and the staff there, but I realize that there are so many different groups wanting to meet with us. I do think the outreach, you know, once we have a plan for outreach, hopefully this request to meet with individuals will diminish somewhat, or, you know, maybe that's the way we heat it up, is by having a formal mechanism to engage with the public so that we're not each being asked to have side meetings with special interest groups. My concern is the appearance. If, for example, you know, five or six different certain groups politically aligned a certain way or what have you, and I meet with just those groups individually, there's an appearance of partisanship depending on who's asking to meet with me individually as a board member. So I'd really prefer, if we're going to engage individually, there needs to be transparency and a record of who we're meeting with.
Good point. Bethany, I see your hand is up. I think you're still on mute, Bethany.
Sorry about that. Thank you. I would like to try to get a sense of what we mean by a meeting, because I've had conversations with people where I'm talking to them about something else altogether, and suddenly they launch into something about redistricting, right? And so if we're talking about, you know, transparency about who we've met with on these things, that gets pretty sticky there as far as, you know, this was not a meeting that I had arranged to have with this person, and it wasn't – you know, a conversation I'd agreed to have with this person, but they launched into telling me what they think about this district. And same as Beth, I've said, you know, we don't even have the data. I appreciate that. There'll be a formal way for you to provide that input when the time comes. But, you know, still the conversation happened, right? So, you know, how do we define these things? It gets pretty sticky. So I just want to kind of bring that up, that it's going to be really tough to define and track all of these sorts of conversations.
Yeah, there's a wide range of how people approach you, when they approach you, what they say, and how we all respond to it. And it may be difficult to try and quantify all that in some kind of a document or a policy. I think in the end, it may come down to our individual judgments and what we feel comfortable with in terms of how the meeting was set up, what was discussed. And then to Melanie's point, making other board members aware of what the conversation was in some sort of transparent manner with a memo maybe to staff or to the other board members about what was discussed. But there is that line between sometimes it's a casual conversation that maybe doesn't justify that level of reporting, so to speak. Nicole, any thoughts from you on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is a system. Well, I'm definitely in favor of some sort of system where we can ideally have a board member and staff talk to any outside interest group that wants to be involved in the process. And that probably, though, is going to be a longer conversation, and we'll have to do some work and come together in another meeting to lay out more public or more in-depth policy, if you will. But this could get away from us. I don't know that every conversation is going to require, you know, a memo, but there is interest from putting that on the side, and I can appreciate that.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, I guess Beth, any clear comments about, you know, casual conversations? I'm talking about formal meeting requests. Like, I know we all were approached, and it was initially coordinated through staff, and then staff informed the group that was wanting to meet with us that, you know, if they wanted, you would let us know as individual board members that there's this request, and you left it up to us how we would decide. So I'm talking more like formal meeting requests. And I think if we have that outreach directive and a plan, that will ease the burden of individuals or groups trying to formally meet or lobby us as individual board members.
Well, what we should do is see if staff can start to outline something maybe before our next meeting to put some of this. You've got all of our thoughts, Peter and TJ, and maybe you can start to come up with some kind of a document or policy that captures some of what we've talked about and maybe points out the areas that might be a little sticky or might be difficult to quantify in a policy. And you can circulate that, and then we can start to work on it, think it over, and then maybe come to a consensus in a future meeting on what that might be.
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. Well, the staff will draw up some various ideas and scenarios, and we'll circulate those by email with members and keep the conversation going with the intention of coming back with some policy suggestion in a future meeting.
For now, Mr. Chair, can I request that all meeting requests go through staff? I prefer that. I don't want people individually cold calling me. And I've had one group do that so far, and I told them we haven't established protocol yet. So until we as a board have decided how we're going to handle individual meeting requests, I don't feel comfortable having a side meeting with your group, but we will be providing outreach and opportunities to engage with us, was my response.
Well, I think that's...
Can we at least agree that if there's a
individual board member getting a cold call to ask to meet with a certain group, that we redirect them to staff. And then staff can share that we have an outreach plan in development. I think that's a temporary situation until we have something more formal.
What, any thoughts from board members on that? I guess that would be making a policy then at this point, temporary maybe, until we come up with a formal policy.
An interim policy.
And as I said, it may be that we have differences of opinion, too, on how we want to handle this as individual board members. And and I'm wondering if we ought to wrap that up. Bethany, go ahead. I see you've got your hand up.
I was just going to say, I guess I'd be comfortable with that if as long as we said that it would be a group meeting request. As opposed to an individual. So if it's a group that's making a request, we would go through staff. But for individuals, it's going to be hard for us to define how to handle those, I think, until we get more of a definition of what the meeting and get more protocols there. But for the groups that are reaching out, I think that's a fair thing that I would agree with.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Bud.
Is the raising your hand thing not working? Because I was trying to.
No, it's never gone off. Yours is, you had your hand up continually.
I had it. Okay, well.
At least on my screen, there's a way for me to clear it. I'm not sure.
Sorry. Anyway, yeah, I was going to say about the same thing Bethany just did, that I don't think we ought to restrict ourselves at this point from taking calls or, you know, casual conversations with people you run into and grab you by the collar and want to talk about it. But I do completely agree that anything that smacks of a formal meeting or a group wanting to talk about this, we just defer them until we get an actual policy in place.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. Nicole?
That sounds perfect to me. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, that sounds like there's a consensus on that then. Bethany, that's basically what you were saying too, as I understand it?
Correct.
And Melanie, does that meet your objective in that?
I think so. You know, my goal is to avoid any appearance of us taking favorites or it's going to be the more well-heeled, more sophisticated groups that have lobbyists that are going to be seeking to influence us. So I just want to be very transparent and I'm not sure what the term is that I'm looking for. I want to avoid any appearance of impropriety or that any one of us can be individually influenced by certain special interest groups. We're here to represent the best interests of the whole state, not just one particular group over another. So that's my goal, I guess.
Yeah. And I agree with that. It's difficult. Even when you're a legislator, you get lobbied by individuals all the time, and whether you're in the legislature, on the city council, or on a board, or whatever it might be, people come to you and talk to you individually and, I guess, try and influence you. And we all have to be careful of that individually, that we're fair and open and transparent. But it is a reality, I think, in any position that you're in. There's certain laws that we can't have a majority of us in a situation like that. But I guess we'll give Peter and TJ an opportunity to take a cut at it and see what they come up with. And in the meantime, if there's a formal request by a group, a special interest group, we'll defer on that individually until we have a policy in place.
Thank you. And that's more what I was leaning towards, was formal meeting requests, not individuals calling and, you know, chatting on the side, or in more informal, like, what's this redistricting about? What is, you know, just general information kind of thing, versus formal meetings. If we're going to engage in formal meetings, I think we need to be transparent about it.
Okay. I think we're kind of all in agreement on that then. So let's move on to item six, is, unless there's any other comment or questions on that item. Okay, item six is software training availability. Peter?
Yes, this is just a brief note to board members to know that I should back up just a little bit. The planning committee foresaw the need for training, and written into our software contract is in-person training, where experts in the software come to Alaska and sit down with us corporately to train, and that was in the pre-COVID world. Obviously, things are in flux right now. The contractor has created a series of 12 instructional videos with an audio track over them. We've just received, that's a private URL, that we've paid for this training, and so we can provide, we will be providing members with the links to that training. But also wanted to throw out that the contractor is offering to do potentially a corporate virtual training seminar, 2 hours, 4 hours, whatever members are up for, that is available to us. So I wanted the board to be aware, and that perhaps after you've had some weeks to look at the initial training on your own timeline, we maybe in April pencil in some time to have a corporate formal training session with the board. So that's available to us. I want to put that on the record and let members know that's a possibility, and just for staff's available to help facilitate that.
Okay. I think we chatted about this in one previous meeting as well, and I know my thought was, if we're going to really be utilizing the software once we get the data, I don't want to train on it too early, because I'll forget it. It's time to actually use it. September might be more timely for me. Somebody else might be able to learn it now and hang on to it. But at my age, I got to learn it just before I use it.
Okay. So that's just an informational point.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that? Or I guess if people wanted to get started on it right away, we could do that individually.
Yeah, so we'll be sending out the links probably on Monday.
Okay. Okay, next item on the agenda is to interview with one of the law firms that responded to the RFI. And let me first thank Bud and Nicole, too, for all their efforts in not only putting together the RFI, but also screening it down to the two entities that we're going to be interviewing. We'll be doing that in executive session. That's the recommendation. And I think we're ready to do the interview with one of the legal firms now. If we could have a motion to enter into executive session for the specific purpose of interviewing one of the respondents for the legal services contract.
So moved.
Okay, there's a motion before us and seconded to move into executive session for a specific purpose. Is there a discussion on the motion? Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing none, we'll move into executive session. And I believe, Peter, if you can coordinate with Legislative Affairs and let us know when we're secure in executive session, we can begin then.
Your host is exiting the conference. The host has rejoined the conference.
Technical issues. People are not muting themselves. Toilets are flushing in the background. It's some good Friday humor. Everything that could go wrong on Zoom.
That's what I need for Friday night. Yeah. Thank you for the referral.
I'm going to check that out, Melanie. I feel like that's my life every time they're in the Zoom.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know why I thought it was so hilarious. I think it's because I'm on so many Zoom meetings, but I showed it to a couple of friends and they didn't really see the humor in it like I did. So maybe it's just me, but
are you texting with Danae here?
Yeah, I'm asking her, hey, are we good to go? Haven't heard back. Okay, she says we're good to go. Thank you for your patience.
Great.
Okay.
Okay, great. Well, we're back on the record. We're out of executive session. We did an interview with one of the respondents to our RFI for choosing a legal firm to represent us during this process. And we have one more interview on Tuesday and another meeting scheduled for that time. At this point, I think unless there's any other business that's coming before the board, I think we're ready to adjourn. Any other members have any comments, questions, thoughts? Melanie, you might have had one thought you wanted to bring up before we adjourn.
It did. So this is Melanie. We're talking about creating avenue for people to request a meeting on our website, and that led me to wonder if we have any resources available to us for our outreach part of our responsibilities for a PR outfit or some kind of an outreach outfit to help us do that.
I'll jump in really quick. I'll give you our chairman, though.
I'm not sure.
I think we did. Oh, there he is. Oh, he's back. I'll jump in really quick on that just because Peter and I have been discussing it so much. But I think that a PR firm would be something that we could bring back suggestions to you guys and maybe get some quotes for you guys and think about it as well. So we'll include that in our process for coming up with good policy.
Thank you. I'm thinking how different things are nowadays with social media compared to the last redistricting effort. It would be neat to have a little short, like a little infomercial, like, what is redistricting? The state of Alaska has done a really good job with the pandemic and putting out little commercials or social media educational blurbs. So I was thinking for the average person who's never really heard the term redistricting, how we could engage, and a PR firm might be able to help us come up with a social media strategy to engage across the state.
At a minimum, Peter and I had discussed beginning to draft some white papers that we'd probably obviously run through the board and make sure they're all kosher and stuff, but the white papers would be maybe foundational for that kind of thing where it just describes process. It's kind of a flow chart, a diagram, and then if the board likes those, we can post them on the website, and then we can use those to pass off to an organization to kind of build off of and build a little campaign out of. So we'll bring some collateral together and all sorts of fun information that you guys can start looking over to improve, and that will begin the foundation of what will go out.
Thank you, Melanie. I think as exciting as white papers are, we might want to look at something more like what Alaska Airlines did, with maybe the five of us dancing.
I walked the line. We just
did the football player.
I walked the line.
Okay. If there's not anything else, do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion before us to adjourn. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Great meeting, sir. Thank you.
No objection. We're adjourned.
Thank
you all.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Your host is exiting the conference.